You're watching
heavy metal.
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 Heavy metal television.
Oh, yeah.
Don't turn it off.
It's Motley Crue right here on a classic metal show, a song that Chris absolutely hates, a song that Team absolutely loves. Deep Cut, baby. Motley Crue with Angela.
That's a fucking bad song. Who likes that?
Tim.
Oh, Team?
Team.
Team?
Oh, well. Team loves it. It's a deep cut, baby.
It's not a deep cut. It's just a bad cut. There's a reason they tried to hide that one, Team. Because it's terrible. It's right there with Sex and what's some other really bad Motley Crue songs? What's the one with Slide Down My Knees, Taste My Sword? What is that one? We Need a Love to Get Tonight.
Tonight.
We Need a Lover Tonight. Tonight. We Need a Lover. Motley Crue has a bunch of bad songs.
Yeah.
And we're forgiven. They were forgiven for a lot of their bad songs because they had some really catchy big giant hits. But I would argue if you take any album from them, except for the second one, except for Shout, it's mostly crap. Honestly, if you take Shout out of the picture, Theater of Pain, that has a bunch of garbage on it. Girls, Girls, Girls has almost all garbage on it, yeah, except that, like that was, two that was or like three
a-
songs.
That was like a throwaway album almost.
Yeah, except it had Wild Side and Girls, 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 which were so big that it was forgiven that the rest of it was Nona and Dancing on Glass and just shitty songs like that.
But those two strip club songs were massive.
Matt, wasn't You're All I Need on that run too?
Yes.
It was like, yeah, you got to write something like Home Sweet Home. Okay, here it is. You're all on it. Give me a little You're All I Need. Just give me a little taste of that, would you? That is so fucking awful.
Well, it also had that sappy video too.
Yeah.
Where the guy killed his chick.
Yeah.
And the police are hauling him away and Vince is in the long coat and, you know, singing mm-hmm. All I Need and all that shit.
Yeah. But really, you know, this is because as the story goes, they were just strung out of their minds in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there was just some record company guy that said, listen, we had a bunch of success with Home Sweet Home. So just give us anything that sounds sort of like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Nicky shit this bag of shit out in between spikes, you know, in his arm, allegedly. Not even so sure I believe those stories anymore.
Helen Kilcaller, you're on the air.
I've got to be in on this.
Oh, you got to be in on this. You want to be third mic, Tim?
Go ahead, Tim. You can jump in and get hammered here.
Yeah, hammered. Clash 7, Motley Crue 94, Orphan Song.
94, I don't even count. Fair enough, it says Motley Crue on the cover, but it's Aero Crew. That's what it is. It's an Aerosmith record that has Motley Crue playing on it.
Well, they called it Motley Crue, man. I didn't, you know. So it's a Motley Crue record because it says Motley Crue on the, you know.
Anything Motley Crue. All right, then I'll adjust to you, Tim, since you're the all-knowing Motley Crue guy. Anything that has Motley Crue on the cover and Vince Neil singing on it is mostly crap. And I'll stand by that, except for Shout at the Devil, which is pretty much a perfect record from them. Every other record is at least half full of crap.
I really don't understand what's wrong with me. And I'm not even trying to be funny. And I'm not even saying there's something wrong with me. But I cannot. Motley Crue is the band that I love every single freaking song.
Ugh.
I love every song.
Tim.
And I don't know whether it's the familiarity of the sound of that band. I don't know if it's the fact that I love huge drums. You know, Tommy Lee's always been a monster. He's a monster drummer. I don't know what it is. I just love that freaking band.
Let's play the game, Tim. First of all, you can't love Smoking in the Boys' Room. I know it's not their song technically, but they made it theirs.
That was the very, very first Motley Crue song I ever heard. Actually, it wasn't. I heard Shout at the Devil on the compilation. But no, that was the very first Motley Crue song I ever heard. It was definitely the very first video I ever saw.
Did you know it was a cover the first time you heard the song?
I had no clue. I saw that in 1985 on a very, very famous show in Australia called Countdown, which I used to watch every week religiously, and I just loved it.
Liked the video. You learned to like the song because you liked the video.
No, I loved the song.
But you were listening with your eyes, though, right?
Yeah, of course. And, you know, but ironically, I didn't go into full-on Motley Crue mode for a couple of years after that. But absolutely, I came from very visual bands. You know, the first guy that I used to love was Elvis, and it was 70s Elvis with, like, the jumpsuits and all that stuff. And you look at that, and that's sort of very far leap to Kiss, who are also a very visual band. And AC/DC are a visual band, and Van Halen were a visual band, and, you know, so it's not surprising that I made those top elite.
Okay, but you can't say, Tim, believe me, I'm not questioning that you're a Motley Crue fan. I'm really not. I'm saying you're a completely non-objective Motley Crue fan, because they could literally throw you a bag of shit and you'll like it. And I'll point to the singles that they've done after the Saints of Los Angeles. Those singles are wretched bad. Those are just shitty, shitty singles. And I guarantee you don't hate them. True?
I honestly don't.
I bet you don't.
I honestly don't.
And a song like Use It or Lose It. Terribly stupid lyrics, terribly bad song, and you like it.
Have you listened to the drums in that freaking song, Tommy?
Dude, I don't care about the drum. Okay, so that doesn't make the song good. That makes Tommy Lee good on the song. You can have a good performance on a bad song.
So the songs aren't necessarily meaningful to you, and as far as the lyric content? No, listen to what I'm saying. They're not necessarily meaningful. You just like the sound of the songs a lot.
I just think it's that I love the sound of that band.
So all the lyrics and every song is you know, spot on for you, and they're all meaningful, every single song, or do you just like the way the song sounds?
I know I'm gonna get caught for this, but I don't care. I think Nicky Six is a lyrical genius.
Ugh, stop it. You are gonna get crushed on that, because he's not. His lyrics are not good. How about this jewel of a lyric, Tim? I'll give you a jewel of a lyric. You tell me how it's good. Something for nothing. Ooh, target practice in the dark. How is that genius? That's terrible.
You know that song's about a gigolo, right?
I don't care what that song's about. That lyric is terrible. You don't have to tell me what it's about. It's a terrible lyric. Even going on that discussion
that the lyrics are terrible, I don't think they are. But because what gives them a pass to me is they lived this stuff. You know, Motley Crue was a genuine band. Whether you like them or whether you don't.
How about this lyrical jewel? It's your rattlesnake shake, 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 shake. Come on. Couldn't even think of another line, so he just said shake, shake, shake to fill the gap.
That's a great tune.
Chris, you're not going to prove anything in this argument, because no matter what you say, it's going to
yeah,
be
I know.
it's got to be a great tune.
It's such a lyrical piece of genius that he did it a few songs later with She Goes Down, when he sings, "She goes down, 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 down." You know, he does the same shit. He's not even creative. He's like, "Well, I was able to jam it up in that song. Let's do it in this one, too."
Yeah, but, dude, those songs are so catchy.
Dude, they're terrible. I'm not saying I don't even like, I like the song She Goes Down personally, but lyrically, for you to say lyrical genius, stop it. This guy is not a lyrical genius.
Let me ask you something, Tim. Comparatively, yep. When it comes to subject material, let's just use She Goes Down. How is Nikki Sixx a lyrical genius with She Goes Down, but do you consider Steel Panther lyrical geniuses with some of their songs that are, provocative?
Well, Steel Panther is, look, yeah, I'll give it to you. And I noticed that this is not a criticism, but you're only highlighting one aspect of
okay, fair enough, Tim. Fair enough. Who's more a lyrical genius, Nikki Sixx or Neil Peart?
Well, I mean, I would.
Tim, you can't even have a your pause. Your pause says more than I need to hear. They're not even in the same universe. Nikki Sixx is on planet Earth, and Neil Peart is like one of the greatest lyricists ever. And I don't even like Rush. I don't like Rush.
I love Rush, but I don't love Rush. Like I love them. I've got all their stuff, but I'm not. You know, I'm not obsessed with Rush.
Well, how about Nikki Sixx or Geezer Butler?
For me, absolutely. You're gonna tell me that Primal Scream isn't freaking lyrical genius, and You're All I Need. That song's freaking lyrical genius.
It's not lyrical genius. Will Scream and Shout kick that mother out? How is that any different than LL Cool J Knock Your Mother Out?
Because it's. Well, I can't speak for LL Cool J. I'm not into rap. I can't speak for that. I do like Eminem and Tupac.
Is Primal Scream a good song? Yeah, I love that song. I like it. It's a heavy. It was a good direction for them at the time. But do I think the lyrics are genius? No, I think it's just I think it's a fist in the air, kind of like a rebellious kind of song. But is it a genius song? No, there's no genius lyrics in there. It's just an anthemic song that's just like, yeah, fuck yeah, man. That's the only.
It's the thing that's behind it, though.
Well, what's behind it, Tim? Right? What's behind it?
Okay, let's look at You're All I Need, right?
Okay,
you were talking about that. Mm-hmm. That song was written about a guy that there were two things going on.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki had a girlfriend that was dating some guy from General Hospital who was cheating on him or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he wrote a song about being a guy who loves your girlfriend and killing her and like, you know. He wanted that girl to believe he would kill her boyfriend or whatever. But okay. the other aspect was he read it this story in the LA Times or whatever and chose to write a song about it.
Dude. So what you're saying is that I have to be a Motley Crue historian to appreciate the greatness of his lyrics.
No, I'm not saying you have to be. I'm saying that
if I want to appreciate the lyrics, I have to know Nikki's every thought. That's what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying to me, and then Primal Scream is about how, you know, how his relationship with his mom and his parents and stuff, and millions and millions of kids around the world identify with that. I did, even though I was just
okay
with my parents. I could see what that was about. The songs have become personal to me. That's all.
Tim, what is the lyrical excellence in the song First Band on the Moon?
Well, I mean, obviously that's just fun.
Just entertainment.
I mean, it's entertainment. It's escapism. Of course, there's nothing serious about the lyrics for First Band on the Moon. Of course there isn't, you know. But the song's catchy as hell, and the melody in there from a songwriting point.
Okay, we're not arguing that point. You said that Nikki is the greatest lyricist.
It's a lyrical genius is the word you use.
Yeah.
There's no lyrical genius in First Band on the Moon. Or to be fair, on any song except maybe Fake on that whole record.
I don't know, man. The lyrics to New Tattoo were pretty cool. We had that at our wedding. What about the lyrics? I'm thinking back to that record. What about the lyrics for Punched in the Teeth by Love or She Needs Rock and Roll? Or, you know, I know that record very, very well.
Oh, boy.
You know, obviously. Punched
in the Face by Love, Chris.
Punched in the Teeth by Love.
Yeah, I know the song. Flash a smile like an alligator. Move her hips like a generator. All over town like an oil spill. If there's meat on the bone, she'll wag her tail. That's some excellent writing there, Tim. Excellent. How about these? Hold on, Tim. Tim, I'm just reading the lyrics that you're saying are excellent. Construction work, it's silicone. Lights are on, but no one's home. She's painted blue like a cartoon. Every man in town went on the honeymoon.
It's awesome. I love it.
Awful.
I love it.
She's a Hollywood vampirella, a storybook Cinderella, a bitchin' smile and a turned down eyes. Every dog in town lifts his leg on her thigh.
That's a great line.
That's terrible.
That's a great line.
That is terrible.
But if you listen to any Steel Panther song, they're very on par with almost similar lyrics.
Come on.
Yeah. But still, Steel Panther. Oh, I don't know. Look, I'm obviously extremely biased. I obviously, when it comes to Motley Crue, I have no objectivity at all.
None.
I freely admit that I have no objectivity. I'm incapable of being objective when it comes to that band.
Okay,
that's fair enough.
I think that's a fair assessment. I think that's about where the conversation ends. It's just like, regardless of what anyone says to you, Motley Crue can do no wrong.
You know, after Dr. Feelgood, they were the kings of everything as far as I was concerned.
They were the kings of everything.
And then, after Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Feelgood, I mean, I liked them up until that point. But after, you know, I liked them and everything. But when Dr. Feelgood came out, that was all I listened to for a year. And when I saw them on that tour in 1990, the first time they ever came to Australia, I'd never seen anything like that in my life. And after that, they were just the kings. And then they came out with Cry on the Screen, which was out of this world. And then the MC94 album, which is my favorite album of all time by any band, anybody.
Okay.
And the deepness of the lyrics on Generation Swine.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
What? Are you gonna tell me that the lyrics to Afraid aren't fantastic, and the
yes.
lyrics to Generation Swine aren't fantastic?
That's what I'm gonna tell you. Yes, they're not.
And the lyrics to Let Us Pray, Let Us Pray. Those lyrics are out of this world. A Rat Like Me. They're awesome. They're awesome. Fantastic.
Race Against the Sunlight. Hold on, Tim. Hold on, Tim. Race Against the Sunlight. Wanna Have a Long Night. Night Mysteries. Tight Mysteries. Another Spotlight. Don't Let Me Out of Your Sight. Two Energies. Two Energies. That's horrid.
The wind is blowing. I want to fly a kite.
They're not Motley Crue lyrics. Where are they from?
That's from Glitter.
No way that's from Glitter.
The ones I read were, I don't know about Neely's.
I'm rhyming just like Dr. Seuss.
No, those aren't the lyrics from Glitter at all.
The ones that I read are.
The lyrics in my life.
The ones that I read are from Glitter. I'm looking right at it.
They're not from Glitter.
Red Skies at Night, Sailor's Delight.
I know the lyrics that song off by heart. Those aren't the lyrics from Glitter.
Let me look again here. Maybe I pulled up another trashy Glitter song. Oh, yes, I guess I did. Sorry, I'm wrong. When moving comes and the sun shines bright, you're going to need someone to treat you right. So don't walk out when you wake up. This isn't Motley either. This is Motley.
When the morning comes and the sun shines bright, you're going to need someone to treat you right.
That's what I said.
So don't walk out when you wake up. Don't walk out when you wake up.
Let's give it a chance, girl. Let's give it a shout. A shot.
Devil.
Give it a shot. Yeah, those are lyrics from Glitter. Yeah.
And they stink. They're not good.
I don't agree. I wish, as a professional songwriter, I wish I could write lyrics into the fact.
Tim, I'll tell you what. Cut a dictionary up into just a bunch of pieces and throw it in the air. It'll land as good as this. This is not good.
I don't know.
Glitter shines forever, forever and ever. I only need your love. Glitter, lay your head down here. I'll always be so near. I only want your love. Stop. That's not good.
I love it.
Well, you know, I agree. Tim, I'm not arguing that you love it. I'm arguing that it is not lyrical genius by any means.
And Brian Adams was also involved in a lot of that stream.
I'm sure he's ashamed of it.
Glitter, lay your head down here. Let me prove to you I'm not a queer.
That's what it should say.
The chat room's going nuts. Hail you, Gil.
Lyrical genius. My dick.
Lyrical genius.
My ass.
I think that's right up there with rock royalty.
Oh, my God. You run around and chase the clouds. I only want you to be yourself. Forget me not. You're all I've got. As you can see, you are the one. Brandon, my son. Ugh.
Tommy wrote that, right?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't even care. It's like, okay, let's rhyme, 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 rhyme. Stop it. That shit's not good. I don't know who wrote it. I don't even care. It's under the Nikki Sixx umbrella, as far as I'm concerned. He was there to stop it.
All right.
Oh, lyrical genius. Stop lyrical it. Lyrical
genius.
Come on.
he had some tasty tunes, man.
What are bad songs on Too Fast for Love? I hate. What is that song? The third one. Not Merry Go Round, but the one right before it. Starry Eyes. Whoa. I don't like that song at all. Let me look up the album. I'll tell you what songs are bad. But Starry Eyes is one I do not like. Let's see. That album. Public Enemy. Live Wire. That's good. Public Enemy number one. That's pretty good. Take Me to the Top. That's pretty good. Merry Go Round. You like Merry-Go-Round? Merry-Go-Round and Round! It's like very repetitive.
It is.
Piece of Your Action, that's good. Starry Eyes, hate. Stick to Your Guns, not a fan. Come on and dance. Come on and dance. Come on and dance. Ugh, not a fan of that. Too Fast for Love, not a fan of that. On With the Show, like that. There's my quick review in 2 minutes or less. Yeah, so there's your answer.
That was about a minute.
All right, even better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not horrible. It's not, I mean, it's not terrible, terrible, but it's not a perfect record. That was all I was saying was Motley Crue had one good record, one complete record. Two, if you count the 94 record. Mm-hmm. But with Vince Neil in the band, one excellent record to me, which is Shout the Devil.
Yeah. Before they were big, before they got rich, before they stopped being hungry.
Yeah. And I'll be the first to admit, because I'll take Tim's side a little bit. I loved some of those songs that are cheesy and bad in the day, but I can't listen to them now. Like Keep Your Eye on the Money. Dude, I was all about that. I bought the stupid little visor that Vince wore in concert. I bought the visor, the gambling visor.
Yeah.
I bought that at the Theater of Pain tour. I had it. It said Motley Crue on the top of it with just little band. Sure. You know, I had that. I was all about that song, and Home Sweet Home I thought was good and at the time. But, man, you can't tell me after 30 years of listening to stuff that you can't hear it just say it's cheesy shit. You know, like what's the one song? You Raise Your Hands to Rock.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Anytime you have like the complete repetitive over and over and over the same words, that is lazy. That's not lyrical genius. It's lazy writing.
Well, it's not that it's I'll say that it's lazy. I don't think it was intentionally lazy. It was an era where it was anthemic rock.
Yeah.
So where it was a crowd participation, repeat the lyrics. Rock, rock, you know. Yeah. It's the Twisted Sister, you know. I want to rock. You know, it was the whole crowd participation because this was arena rock.
Yeah.
So
I'm not talking about thatness. I'm talking about like She Goes Down.
No, but my
She goes down.
But the whole thing is that at the time, a lot of those songs were written to get the audience into it. This is when bands used to actually play the album
on
the tour that they were touring for. So it's just like, yeah, this would be a big stadium or big arena song, and people would get into it because it's simple, it's fun, it's, you know, whatever, and it would be a crowd participation thing. So they would have a song that was repetitive because people could just repeat the same lyric three or four times in a row, and everybody,
it was dumb lyrics.
It was a collective thing to get everybody to participate on the song.
Cause he could have easily filled that gap with, I don't know, punching his clown or something.
Yeah. Of course.
Down, punching his clown all night long. You know, he could have gone with something like that, filled the gap, and at least been better lyrically. Just to say She Goes Down, well, down rhymes with down. Let's say that four more times. Down, 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 down. But
you don't think the crowd was singing that when they played that live?
Well, I saw that tour. I don't remember them playing.
All right. I'm just asking the question. I mean, I'm just using that as an example.
Yeah, I get it. And you get all the dummies that are drunk going down, 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 down. Exactly.
That's kind of my point. You got that. Yeah.
And then looking at their girl and going, you're going to go down later, babe. Yeah, rock and roll. Woo!
Hey, I think I see Sebastian up front.
Woo! She goes down too, Nikki. Woo!
Exactly.
Whoa. Put the titty cam on her.
Right. Exactly.
I'm not trying to say Motley Crue did bad shows either.
But they captured the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was. It's a moment in time. It was a, you know, today. Is it applicable? No.
No.
It worked for the day.
Yeah.
I remember people were, what was that? Was that a live disc called Louder Than Hell?
By Motley?
I think so. What was it called? Louder Than Hell or something like that.
I've got their bio here. Let's see what they've done here. Motley discography. They had, where's the live records? They had Live Entertainment or Death, Carnival of Sins Live, and The End Live in Los Angeles.
I thought there was maybe it was a bootleg or something.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So, you know, but people were into Crew. I mean, yeah. When I lived in California, you know, in the mid 80s, you know, Crew was the thing. Everybody loved the Crew. They people were playing the Crew all the time.
Yeah. I loved them. Dude, I'll make no bones about it. They were probably my first favorite metal band, other than, you know, the obvious Black Sabbath that brought me into metal. As far as bands that I discovered, you know, by myself, I guess. They were probably my first favorite. I saw them a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
Saw them with Ozzy. Saw them with Y&T. I've seen Motley Crue at least 10 times.
Yeah.
Most of those times, I would walk away saying they played a pretty good show.
Yeah.
The only time I really thought they sucked was when they opened for Scorpions, or Scorpions opened for them, or however that worked. I don't remember because I was very drunk, but so were they, and they were shitty.
All right. Did you still want me to play All I Need?
Yeah, give me a little taste.
All right, here we go.
So we can hear that lyrical genius.
All right, here we go. Well, come on, play.
Now, what's going on tonight over there?
I don't know. Something. I don't know. For some reason, that track, even though it was there's like no data there for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what happened there, but it's bizarre.
That computer not liking playing tonight.
Apparently not.
Oh, well, fuck it.
Oh, which, by the way.
Yes.
Because I liked this new computer I bought a few months ago, the one with the solid state disc.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And how it boots up and everything.
Boots up in like 3 seconds.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I went and bought two more.
Oh, look at you.
$410 a piece.
What, are they in the closet or are you using them?
No, I haven't got them yet. They're going to be here on Monday.
Are you going to use them or just put them in the closet for?
No. I'm going to put them, make them active.
Okay.
You know, but I bought the first one for, you know, the one that I'm using for you and I and broadcast and everything.
Right.
But I liked it so much because it's so quick.
Right.
I was able to buy two more at like $410 a piece.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing. So I get those on Monday.
Another studio upgrade.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Because I want our fans to have the best.
Spending that Scottie Pippen money.
Yeah. fuck it. I can't find it.
Fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah, Pally.
Who cares? What do you want to talk about as far as Motley Crue?
Oh, wait a minute here. I got it.
All right.
Yeah, one of the most, you know, obviously the two things that Home Sweet Home and this one has in common is the fact that they're using a piano.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. All right. Lots of reverb there.
This is when they were just a mess.
Yeah, very soupy.
Somehow I think Tom Werman might have played all these instruments. Yeah, well,
I think he had to bury that into the reverb mix.
Yeah.
Because it's very soupy reverb.
It's just not good.
Yeah.
that's what I'm saying to Tim and to anybody listening is fucking Motley Crue has shit songs that fill out every record. They're just not a, they're not a good band overall. If you, other than Tim, if you take 10 non Motley Crue purists and give them every record, I guarantee you everything after Shout at the Devil will say, I'll even maybe leave the first one alone because I know some people love that, but I will guarantee you everything after Shout at the Devil, any just regular hair metal fans will be able to pull 3 to 5 songs off of each record that they'll say are not good. At least.
Well, it's kind of like taking, it's kind of like taking the Guns N' Roses Use Your Illusion collection and making one good record out of it. You could take, you could take basically all the Motley Crue records and
make, make a two CD set.
Yeah, make a two CD set out of, you know, all the good songs.
Right. Well, let's play the game. We can do this real fast. We're not in any hurry. I'll read the songs. You tell me if you think they're good or not.
Okay.
Ready?
Go ahead.
We'll start with Theater of Pain. City Boy Blues.
I kind of like that one. I mean, obviously it's not a hit, but it's, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. Smoking in the Boys' Room.
Yeah. You know, obviously a cover. I mean, it's just, you know, they make it their own by throwing their own names into it.
Sure.
But yeah.
Yeah. It's like, eh, whatever. So we'll count that as one bad. Or are we going to leave that one alone?
Nah, it's neutral. It's not bad. It's not good. It's just,
and we'll leave it alone. I only want ones that you think are bad.
Okay.
Louder Than Hell. I like personally, but
yeah, I was thinking about it, but yeah, I'll put that in the good column.
All right. Keep your eye on the money.
Not so much.
All right. That's one bad. I actually like that one too, but
okay.
You know, Home Sweet Home. Obviously a monster.
Yeah, that's a hit. I mean, you can't say, oh, that was a bad song. It sucked.
It sucked. It sucked their way into 5 million sales or whatever.
Yeah, and plus they redid it again.
Mm-hmm. Tonight We Need a Lover.
Nah.
Okay, that's a bad one.
Yeah.
So we'll say that in Neely's eyes, that's 2. Use It or Lose It. Sweet Pain is the name of the game.
I know. It's a cheesy song. Now,
3. Save Our Souls for the Heavens.
Boy, that's a one that's on the fence.
To me, it's like the same song as Louder Than Hell. It's even in the same place on the other side of the record.
Yeah.
Neutral?
Neutral.
Okay. Raise Your Hands to Rock.
Cheesy, no.
3. Fight for Your Rights.
Another one.
Okay, so that's 4.
But see, this is the whole anthemic thing, you know? Yeah. It's just like, man. That's what it's all about, though. That's what the era was. Now,
it
doesn't transcend time, no.
No, not at all. So for Theater Pain, you like 6 of 10. So that's a 60%.
Yeah.
All right, fair. And really, it's probably 55 because you had the one song that was neutral.
Yeah, pretty much.
So 55.
So half the record was garbage.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kind of like what you said.
Let's go to Girls, Girls, Girls. There's 10 more classics ready for Neely. Wild Side.
I like that song.
Yeah, me too. Girls, Girls, Girls.
Yeah, you know, it's a stripper song. I haven't been to a dance or club in, boy, I couldn't even tell you.
Ever?
At least a decade or more.
Sure.
But do I like to see a good looking girl who knows how to do her thing dance to that? Yeah, that's awesome. Love sure.
All right. Dancing on Glass.
I'm going to go no.
All right. That's 1. I don't even have to read the next 2 because I know they're bad. Bad Boy Boogie.
No.
Nona.
No.
5 Years Dead.
I'm going to put that in the yes column. I mean, it's all not right. Great. It's not terrible.
Neutral.
Neutral.
All right. All in the Name of.
Got another anthemic song.
All in the Name of Rock.
Yeah, I know. I get it. Well,
it's Sex and Sex. You'll Sell My Soul.
Will it transcend time? No. Was it Was it good at the time? Yes. So it's one of those, you know, fence
indifference.
Songs. Yeah.
All right. Something for Nothing.
No.
Terrible. You're All I Need.
No.
Terrible. Jailhouse Rockets cover. But did you like their cover?
No.
All right. So that's 6 of 10 you did not like.
Yeah. So yeah, 60% shit.
Yeah. 40% winner.
Yeah, fella.
Let's go to Girls, or Dr. Feelgood, rather. Dr. Feelgood, 11 songs, or 10, because TNT, that doesn't count. That's just an intro. Dr. Feelgood, the song.
Well, you know, obviously that was a big tune and big drums, big everything. So, yeah, for you know, just one of those songs you just want to bang your head to a little bit. Yeah, I dig that one a lot. Cool.
Slice of Your Pie.
I'm going to put that in the no.
All right. I'm going to put that in the yes, personally. Okay. I like that one.
All right.
Unlike this one that I don't like, that maybe you do, Rattlesnake Shake.
Nah, I didn't dig that one at all.
Garbage. Kickstart My Heart.
Yeah, well, obviously, that's another biggie. Another stripper pole song.
Right. Without You.
Without You.
It's a hit.
Nah, I didn't dig that one.
I didn't either. And I know it was a hit, but it was not a good one. Nah. So that's 3. Same old situation. Another big giant hit.
You know, the only reason I like that song is because I kind of like the video.
That's, yeah, sure, with the ball throwing into the crowd.
Yeah,
yeah. All right, so that stays on the positive. Sticky Sweet.
Oh boy. Well, of course, it's a very sexual song, so I'm gonna throw that in the fun sexual. Yeah, I'm gonna go yes on that one.
All right. Are you going to do the same for She Goes Down?
Yeah, I'm going to go with that one, too.
All right. Don't Go Away Mad. Just Go Away.
Yeah, Just Go Away. That's a lyrical genius song right there. for you and I, especially after that long conversation we had last week. Yeah, that's definitely fits the Don't Go Away Mad. Just Go Away.
So that stays on the good?
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right. And last, Time for Change.
I'm going to throw that in the bad.
So 4 of 11. What's that? About 66%, something like that?
Something like that.
So 4 bad ones off of that album.
Yeah. You know, you're going to get a lot of fillers. I don't care what band it is. I mean, you know, obviously you're going to have bands that everybody likes. You know, whatever your favorite band is, you're going to find some filler songs.
Of course. I'm going to skip the Karabi album because we're not counting that. We're only counting Vince Neil records. So we'll go to Generation Swine. See if there's any.
That whole thing could go in the garbage.
All right.
I don't like one song off that album. Not one.
Really?
No.
See, I like Flush. I like the song Flush.
All right.
Say goodbye. Tell me why.
Didn't dig it.
I like that one.
I just don't like the sound of that album at all.
That mix is awful. That Humphrey guy. Terrible. Yeah, that Humphrey guy.
I think what soured me, even to this day, is the anticipation of Motley Crue coming back.
Yeah.
And then they released that, and it was just like, what?
Yeah, it was not a good record. I'm just looking at the songs. I'll do this one real quick because I know these songs. I played this. Unfortunately, this was when Randy was hanging out with me a lot.
I know.
So
he was so stoked about Motley Crue coming back with Vince. It was so stoked, and it was the original lineup, and Tommy was back, and Vince was back, and it was a big production and a big, big press junket and
big tour. Everything was big. I'll tell you what: if Tim ever moved here, or if Randy ever moved into Australia, they could live together. They're the same guy. They could share Motley stories for days.
In fact, I think I went to the Generation Swine tour with Randy
and me.
Where were you? Where was it all
at the
CSU?
No.
Or was it at the Akron
Civic? The Akron place with the gargoyle.
Yeah. We went to Akron Civic, but which one did they do at the CSU? They did this one too.
They came back and did with the spaceships and
Yeah. With that stupid DJ guy up on the cherry picker and all that bullshit. It's like, what the fuck? That's when Tommy just got out of jail, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. After beating up on Pam, beating her ass.
Yep. I think that was when. But yeah, I think we all three went together at the Akron show.
Well, we did go to the Akron show together.
Yeah, I didn't go to the CSU. I had enough with Akron.
I went with Randy at the CSU show.
Yeah, I couldn't be bothered with Akron. And after Akron.
I remember about the CSU show is the Indians were in the playoffs or in the World Series. Was it the World Series or the playoffs?
I don't remember. It was one of the two, yeah.
Yeah, because the streets of Cleveland were full of cars, and all the parking lots were just totally full because the Indians were playing either in the playoffs or I can't remember. Did they get in the World Series?
97, I believe so, yeah.
All right. So it was the World Series, and then Motley was playing at CSU just down the street from the stadium. So all I remember is that Cleveland was a buzz.
Yeah, it was.
At the exact same time.
Yeah, sure was.
You fucking Indian fans. I have nowhere to park, God damn it.
Pricks. Let's see here. I'll do this one real quick because I know you hate all these.
Yeah, I don't dig this record at all.
For me, Find Myself is a turd. Afraid is a turd. Flush, I like.
All right, before you move on, let's play a little bit of that.
All right, give me some Flush.
Sound like Tool.
Yeah, it does.
It's like Tool.
But I like Vince's. This is going to make me almost sick considering what we've come to now. I like Vince's vocal on this.
All right.
Especially the chorus. I think he sounds about as good as he ever did.
Okay.
Even though it's heavily influenced by the studio, he sounds good.
Okay. He's got the fucky effect.
He does. It makes him sound good.
Yeah, got the fucky effect on it. This is puppet on a string.
Yeah, sounds good on Vince.
All right. Way buried in the mix.
Yeah, makes it sound great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm listening to my headphones here,
right?
And way buried in the mix. I can't even tell what he's singing.
Isn't that the best way to hear Vince?
But how do you gravitate to that song?
I just like it. I don't know.
Like do you just like the bass heavy line? Just the darn damn.
No, it's a weird thing. You know, I love ballady type stuff, and it's so different from everything in the Motley catalog that I just, even from the first time I heard it, I was like, that's my tune on this record.
Really? Okay. Yep. All right. That's surprising, but okay.
All right. We don't have to hear more of that, but that's Flush. I like that. So that's one in the light column and two in the bad. Generation Swine, the song, terrible. Confessions, not good. Beauty, not good. Glitter, really not good. Is there anybody out there? Not good. Let Us Pray, not going to lie, like that one.
Really? Let's take a listen.
All right. It's because Karabi wrote it.
This is Korn.
This is John Corabi Crew.
This is Korn, dude.
This is good.
This sounds like Jonathan Davis and Korn, man. All I can see is the dreadlocks hopping up and down on stage.
This is Smoke the Sky with a different producer.
It's still Korn.
That's good.
Ancient time to my life, you know my name. Turn your blessings into pain. You make love, I give you hate. My pollution gives you cancer of the brain. You're too mean, sell your soul. Feeling low and letting go. You're such an easy prey for me.
This is Korn, Deftones, and Limp Bizkit all in one.
It was 1997. This, I they say it's not, but I swear this is just a leftover track from the 94 record.
It could have been.
But Corabi wrote it. Corabi wrote the lyrics.
All right. Well, you know, just that. I mean, just coming right out of the gate. That feels like the first song off of Follow Me or Follow the Leader.
Right.
You know, this is like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Reminds me of the opening track of Seven Dust, the first.
Yeah, I'm not even a Korn fan, and I even know their records.
give me the opening, the first song on Seven Dust.
All right.
Look up the Seven Dust song and see if you don't think this is where they stole it from, because it just has that with the guitar. It's just like this. Let Us Pray.
Seven Dust.
Yep, track one, which is. I can't remember what the song is called. I don't know why I'm blanking on that, but.
All right. Let me see here. Let's see here. Seven Dust. Let me see if I can pull it up here real quick. Mm-hmm.
This. Well, you don't have that handy?
No. let's see here. Seven Dust Radio. Let's see here. I'm trying to find it real quick.
What's the song?
What's the name of the song? Do you know?
I'll look it up. It's, the song is it Black or Bitch or one of them two? Black. Yeah,
that's, I got it right here. Here we go. Yeah. Sounds just like this.
That's what I'm saying.
It sounds exactly the same. Now this is Motley.
All right.
I'll play you, bitch.
Similar.
Very similar. It was that time.
I'm sure Tommy was listening to all that stuff too.
All those bands sounded the same.
Yeah. Well, sure enough. There you go.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. Where were we here? That was Let Us Pray. So that was the second one that I like.
Okay.
Rocket Ship, which I don't even know if we count that one. This is only 2 minutes. I think it's just a long intro, really. I mean, it does have some, it has some voices, I think, in it, but I don't even remember. I'm not going to count that one. I'm going to go indifferent just to leave that one alone. Rat Like Me, though, that's fucking terrible.
Okay.
Shout at the Devil 97, that's fucking terrible. And Brandon, of course, is the worst.
Awful. Yeah.
So 2 out of 13, good. 1, indifferent. So 2.5 out of 13. What's that, about 18%?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I remember I got a copy of this. It was the exact same reaction I had when I got Doc and Shadow Life. I was just like, what the fuck is this?
Dude, I was with Randy, and my buddy Mike that owned the Disc Den let us have it like 2 days early. And Randy literally took off from his job to come and get it. Randy was like, I'll meet you there, man. I'll meet you right after work. Cause that was when he was working like mids.
Yeah.
Like 3 to midnight or whatever.
Sure.
But Randy had to have it. He just was like, I got to have it. You can get it Wednesday. I'm going to be there. I'll be. So Randy takes the day off to come to get this Motley record. And we get it. And we're sitting in my car in the parking lot playing it. And I thought he was going to cry. I thought he was going to cry. He was so devastated. He was so excited. And it was just shitty song after shitty song. He was so upset.
Yeah, I can understand because, you know, I got it, you know, and I, you know, I'm not like a hardcore Motley fan, but right. You know, obviously I've had their catalog or know them and, you know, familiar with them. And then I hear this and I'm just like, what am I listening to?
Yeah. Just trash,
you know. And I listened through the whole record, and you know, I saw the whole press, you know, conference and all that other stuff, and I was just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, just not good.
No.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to a new record. Let's go to The New Tattoo.
All right, now this Hell is on- this was with Randy Castillo, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then that Cardelloni, or what was her name?
Maloney, Samantha Maloney.
Didn't she drum on this tour?
I think, but then she had to leave because Nikki was banging her and he got caught or something. There was something like that, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think. Well, yeah. Yeah, that was the big controversy.
Yeah, it was that Nikki was giving her his drumstick.
Yeah.
And she was playing that.
Where did she go after that?
Oh, well, let me look her up.
Now, what was her claim to fame? Who did she play with?
Hole.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she was in Hole and Motley Crue and then the Chelsea.
Never heard of it.
Then the Eagles of Death Metal.
She played with them?
Yeah, she played with them the only
reason I know them is because they opened for Axl's GNR. Yeah.
And weren't they also the big part of the Bataclan shooting?
Yeah.
That was like their claim to fame, that their audience all got killed. Then there was Peaches. No idea. Then back to the Chelsea Girls. Then the in Ingenues.
The Ingenues.
The Ingenues. And then Brother Clyde.
Okay.
With Billy Ray Cyrus. What?
All right. Well, hey, a gig's a gig, right?
I guess Billy Ray Cyrus released on his Facebook account about a new alt-rock group, Brother Clyde. Okay.
All right.
Awesome.
Yeah, I saw this tour.
Yeah, lucky you. Was it any good?
Motley Crue. I mean,
it was probably a lot of good showmanship, but shitty songs.
Yeah, it was just, you know, I think they only played like one or two songs off of this. They played
Hell on High Heels.
Hell on High Heels.
And probably Punched in the Teeth.
Yeah, and then the rest of it was, you know, the Motley Crue hits. Sure. But this is when Tommy was out of the band doing his rap shit.
And who wants to see that? Who wants to see Motley Crue without the roller coaster?
Yeah, and that's when Randy Castillo was sick. He got cancer.
Probably from playing these songs.
Is that what it was from?
I think so.
Okay.
He got fucking heart cancer from playing these songs. It wasn't in his heart.
Yeah, I guess not.
Awful, but all right, here we go. Hell on High Heels.
Yeah.
Yes, no, indifferent.
Yeah, it's just let's play a little bit. It's been literally tons of years since I've heard this.
Okay.
I don't hate it, so I'll put that in the good column.
All right. Is it me, or did everything that they did after the 94 record have thin sound, thin production?
Yeah, well, it didn't. It wasn't full, that's for sure.
Yeah, everything. This album, Swine, the
Saints of Los Angeles.
Saints of Los Angeles, the singles, Sex, and whatever the other singles were. They all sound thinner or something. Or
mm-hmm. They didn't have that big, full sound.
Yeah.
It was got the strip down.
Yeah. But that big, full sound was a big part of Motley Crue.
Well, again, they did the big reverb. They had the big, full sound. They, you know, it was big. It was like big arena rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, here we go. Treat Me Like a Dog.
All right. Again, I haven't heard this record.
You don't even remember this fucking album.
I mean, it was just kind of came and went.
Yeah. I actually like it.
Yeah, I like that one.
Okay, so 2 for 2. Mm-hmm. New tattoo.
New tattoo.
Yeah.
Sounds like something off of the Motley Crue record.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's what that sounds like. What does this sound like to you?
Sounds like me taking a dump that doesn't want to come.
All right. That goes in the bad column.
Yeah, one bad. Drag strip superstar. I can't admit, I don't even remember that.
All right. Boom, boom.
Call out to God. Call your mom.
It's like almost kickstart my heart in a different, you know.
It's the opening from the bonfire from Laser Wolves.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's not good.
All right, so 2 for Neely. First band on the moon.
Helen Kilcolly, you're on the air.
Hey, Helen Kill. I'm Tim already.
Hey, is this Tim again?
Shocking. Yeah,
just so that you know, I agree. Those records sound a lot thinner. And the reason is because they weren't using Bob Rock. So they weren't using, he did the 94 record, and then Scott Humphrey did the 90s Generation Swine. Mike Clint did New Tattoo, and Bob Rock came back on the Red, White, and Crew stuff. And they didn't use him for Saints of Los Angeles. They didn't use him for the two singles. They didn't use him for Sex, and they didn't use him for All Bad Things. But they did use him for the Dirt soundtrack stuff. So the last four songs I used him. And Tommy Lee went to jail in 1998 and got out before the Greatest Hits Tour. So the Motley Crue versus the Earth Tour wasn't when he was in jail, or when he got out of jail.
There you go.
Look at that. Tim the historian. Motley Crue historian.
Of course he is. Mike Clink should be embarrassed if this is his work.
Because he did Guns N' Roses' Appetite.
Yeah. And then he did this. Must have needed money.
Yeah, and but he did. Bob Rock did do the two new tracks on the 1998 Greatest Hits album. But that's only. I'm only chiming in because you're asking those questions.
All right. Well, Bob Rock is God.
Well, none of us asked that question, but anyway.
All right. The next one is She Needs Rock and Roll.
What did you give First Band on the Moon?
Not good.
No, so that's three. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Here we go. She Needs Rock and Roll.
All right. I already know you hate that. Oof. Is that a Smash Mouth cover?
That's what I was thinking.
Jeez, oh man.
That's why I was laughing. I was like, holy shit.
I think it's safe to say we're putting that in the bad.
Yes.
All right. Punched in the Teeth by Love.
Oh, this is the Genius song, right?
Yeah, this one's lyrical excellence.
Yeah, this is about a Hollywood hooker.
Yeah. So bad.
Lyrical genius.
Yeah. I mean, who else has ever thought to rhyme alligator with generator?
Right.
Jesus.
I think Motley Crue sang, or not Motley Crue, but Quiet Riot sang, I got a mouth like an alligator.
Right. But they didn't follow with she powers my house like a generator.
No. Bang your head. All right. Hey. Hollywood Ending is the next song.
Where do you rate that one?
Oh, not good.
No? All right. It's five.
Oh, my.
That's six.
You're all I need.
Yeah, exactly. That's six.
It starts off just like You're All I Need.
Exactly.
That's enough with that.
That's six.
Yeah. The only thing I was missing was the piano.
Yeah.
All right. This next one is Fake.
Which I like. I'm going to be on record to say I like this one too. And I know you're going to hate it, but I all like it.
Right, let me listen. This sounds like Seduce.
Yeah.
The band Seduce.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Sounds like what the hell's the name of their song? Yeah, it sounds like a Seduce song.
Hey, hey, hey.
I'm in the devil.
Hey, hey, hey. Spend $1 million on amphetamines. Crashed a lot of cars. Fucked all the stupid stars and
live this life, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's what makes this a lyrical genius, because
it is.
They lived their life on $1 million cracked out cocaine.
They did.
Yeah, pal.
Well, I like this song.
That's not bad.
All right. Neutral?
Yeah, and I'll put that in the okay.
All right.
I'll put that in the okay.
You're on the four good, or two good, two neutrals, and five bad so far.
All right. Now we got Porn Star.
Yeah.
This should be right up your alley, but I'm just guessing it's not.
You would think I'd love it.
Okay.
Nope.
No.
Six. And yeah. Then, of course, the last tune is White Punks on Dope, the Tubes cover.
Right.
Which is not good. 7. No fee wable, no tubes, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Oh, that's so. There you go. So 7 bad ones on that one. I think, was there one more?
That's it.
There's one more. The Saints of Los Angeles.
No, that's on that. Oh, you mean the album?
One more album. Yeah.
Yeah. One more album. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. There's 12 tracks and one intro. So we'll skip the intro. We'll go to Face Down in the Dirt.
I was looking for that Seduce song that sounded just like that one song. Let me check this out. Let me check these out real quick.
All right.
No, that's not it. No. I don't know. It sounded a lot like those songs, right?
Yeah.
Very similar.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Let's I can't believe Motley Crue would steal an idea.
No way.
No fucking possible way.
All right. Saints of Los Angeles.
Yep.
All right.
You know this album even at all?
I actually kind of like this record. It just kind of missed just something. It just had. But I didn't mind it at all.
Had crap production again.
Yeah, I think that's mostly what it was.
Yeah. I didn't like it. I thought it was crap, but.
Okay.
But go ahead. Face Down in the Dirt.
All right. Let's play the first one here.
All right.
Sounds like Joan Jett. That's what that reminds me of. It sounds like a Joan Jett song.
Yeah, it does kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, no?
Nah.
All right. -1. Yeah. What's it going to take?
All right, here we go.
-2.
We were drinking dinner on the sunset strip. Girls doing powder shot, middle on her lip. Just another night. Man, I can't take this.
I know you hate that because it's rappy.
Yeah. Right, here we go.
2.
Down at the whiskey.
Down at the whiskey.
I can relate to this a little bit, but it doesn't mean it's a good song. Mm-hmm. Well, that song there, I mean, this is like 30 years past their prime. I mean, he's trying to sing about like some young band, like say like a Poison loading up in the van from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and driving across the country in hopes of striking a dig in Hollywood.
Really? Meanwhile, you know? they're loading up on the chartered 767, loading up from the limo into the private plane.
Exactly.
We're going to party like we're going insane.
It's not very relatable.
See, you like this, but now it's so dated, you can't take it.
But it's been 10 years at least.
Huh?
When did this come out? 08?
Yeah, 08.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, you know, we're 13 years in.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it when it came out. I was just like, yeah, it kind of sounds like Motley Crue, you know? At least it's not Generation Swine.
Unfortunately, you haven't listened to it since 2008.
No, it wasn't that great. No, it wasn't great. It's just I heard it, and I was just like, okay, I don't mind that. It's not terrible.
Right. Do you own it?
Well, I'm playing it.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were.
I have it. I do have it.
Okay. I didn't know if you were YouTube.
No, this is actually on the hard drive here.
All right. Look at that.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. This is the title track, Saints of Los Angeles.
Which I'll say in advance, good song.
Okay. Screams,
yeah,
kind of sound to it, so I dig it.
I like that one. It's the first time in forever they're actually rocking.
Yeah, this sounds like Primal Scream in a way.
You know, this is such a weird record because it's written by a bunch of other people.
Yeah, and it almost sounds like Too Young to Fall in Love too.
Mm-hmm.
Got a little bit of that in there.
Yeah, but it's written by that James Michael that ended up being part of 6AM. And DJ Ashba wrote on, and he's on damn near every song. I think every song these guys are on.
Mm-hmm.
And that Marty Fredrickson, that was he in the Struts or something? I forget what he's known for, but he's, his work includes bands like the Struts, Aerosmith, Gavin Rosdale, Buck Cherry, he's producer guy. You know. Okay, there we go.
If you need a place to go, got two rooms long, a mansion and a gun, and the cops on damn show. So come right in, cause everybody's seeing. Welcome to the scene of the crime. You want it, believe it, you got it if you need it. The devil is a friend of mine. Who if you think it's great?
All right, I like that one.
It's the first time in 20 years they sound like Motley Crue.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying. It's a very Motley song.
Yeah, so I'll take that one as a plus.
Okay. The next one is called, what is
it? Of the Year.
Yeah, MF of the Year, yeah.
Respect in your eye, I can't control myself.
Okay, kind of like that one.
Okay, so there's two. All right.
All right. The next one is called The Animal and Me.
Mm-hmm.
Wind was slowly digging in. It kind of makes me wonder about the lovers that have been lying in my bed with a hand tied up. I knew it all along that it wasn't enough. Cause when I got a taste of you, I found something I could sing my teeth into.
Ugh. Lyrical genius there.
That's a no.
That's a number, what, four, I think? Four no's.
All right. Welcome to the Machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
PLP did it better. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Step inside, step inside. That's what that is.
Yeah.
Or, you know, welcome to the circus.
Right.
And, Wasp.
And don't steal that fucking title from Pink Floyd either. Terrible. Yeah. All right. Five bad.
Yeah. Just another psycho.
All right. Six bad. Oh, wait, I'll let you get it.
All these songs start out the same.
Yeah, with that fade in fucking phase. And then
bang, 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 you know, with the drums. Mm-hmm. They're all the same.
Yep.
He's crazy.
He's wild, man. Psycho.
He's a crazy guy.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
What, Tim?
Hey, this is Finch.
Oh, what's up? Finch.
Hey, did you see the video of Vince falling off the stage?
Yes.
I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
It was worth watching. And then in the article, I think it was on Blabbermouth, they talk about instead of, you know, doing, you know, proper diet and exercise, he's using a machine that's going to shake the weight off, I guess. But
that's good.
He's going to use one of those old timey belts that go around the belly. Right. The fat right. shaker.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But that's all. And all
right. Thanks for checking in.
I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
Yeah. He fell off the stage. Not much to see. He's walking out there and he falls off.
Yeah.
Fucking hurt himself.
I've seen it happen before. I saw Steven fall off the stage. I saw Bret Michaels fall off the stage. They just get up too close. The lights are too bright and they don't see where the line is and they fall off.
The best one of all time though is Vince or Bret Michaels getting KO'd by the stage coming down on
him. Yeah. The
that's the best.
The curtain coming down or that wall.
That big block thing, whatever that was, it just knocked him on his ass.
Yeah. All right.
What was that one? Was that a plus or a minus?
That's a minus.
All right. So that's six.
Chicks equal trouble.
I think we give this one a good just because the title's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Got tits or tired. So it's nothing but trouble.
That's right.
It's tired.
Eight.
Yeah.
I kind of like that one personally, but
really? Okay.
Okay.
This ain't a love song.
No. Primal Scream!
Yeah.
Nine.
White Trash Circus.
10.
Just so much cliche shit in here.
Yeah.
I opened up the bottle and I fell out of bed. The whole, you know, obviously this is Saints of Los Angeles. It's all about drugs and hookers and getting high and being drunk and being, you know, fucked up.
Yeah. All shit they're not doing because they don't live in Los Angeles anymore.
Right.
They live up in the hills.
Or they live in Las Vegas or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Vince lives in Nashville.
Yeah.
When singing about this shit.
He lived in Las Vegas forever, and now he lives in Nashville.
Yep.
All right. One last one. It's called Going and Swinging. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Going out swinging. All right.
Almost had me until the chorus came in.
You say the chorus, I say the lyrical brilliance kicked in.
Well, it was the lyrical genius that didn't quite grab me.
Reach right back out to She Goes Down and stole a little thing there called repetitive nonsense.
Right.
Ugh. So in the Neely count, that would be 11 of 13 no's.
Yeah. I mean, for a mindless record, would I listen to that? Sure. I think it's a great record? No.
Yeah. You like two songs, Saints and Motherfucker of the Year.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And then the rest is junk.
Sure.
I'm with you. So there it is, Motley Crue. I think we proved it. Every album, at best, half good. And most of them, less than half good.
Right.
Overrated shit band.
Yeah. Well, what prompted this whole segment was Nikki Sixx.
Yeah.
Conceded that the Motley Crue were quote unquote most probably a sexist band in their heyday.
You think? You think a band that had the titty cam for 15 years was fucking sexist?
And She Goes Down.
Yeah.
And Sticky Sweet.
Yeah. And guys that allegedly, you know, washed their dicks with tacos so that they could see how filthy they could be to stick their dick in chicks.
Yeah.
You're kidding. That's a sexist band? I would have never guessed.
Yeah.
Dude. Revelation.
Yeah. In today's environment, most probably the bassist told Classic Rock while discussing whether Motley Crue's behavior in the 80s would have been seen as sexist, as was everybody. In the 70s when I grew up, it was just the messaging that came through and you were emulating your heroes.
Do you think this is trying to get out in front of it?
Before I don't know. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, it is what it is. I mean, everything that you did is on record. You have a book out. You have a movie out. You have, you know, a whole catalog of music. I mean, how do you explain it away?
Yeah, I don't know, but it wouldn't shock you if he's just trying to get out in front of it before Me Too hits him. Where you could say, look, I already acknowledged that I did some things that were terrible.
Yeah, well, so what? I mean,
I already apologized.
The whole thing. They were this dangerous, wild, wicked band, these bad boys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, he's also putting the onus on other bands.
Yeah.
Sixx also name checked Aerosmith, Steven Tyler, whose lewd lyrics on Get Your Wings, Pandora's Box, now I ain't what you call a city slicker or claim to fame to be a city licker.
See, he did it first, man.
what he's saying. I'm just emulating what I heard growing up, man.
Yeah. It's not my fault. It's Aerosmith's fault.
Yeah.
It's Aerosmith's fault, man.
Yeah. It impressed him as a teenager. I was like, wow, that's fucking rad. Mm-hmm. It was dangerous, you know? When someone is talking about guns, sex, drugs, you're like, this is fucking dangerous, man. This is not mom and dad's music, so it was different at the time. You can't rewrite history, man.
Right.
Motley Crue's debauched exploits have been public knowledge, at least since their scandalous memoir, The Dirt, came out in 2001. The tell-all book was adapted into a Netflix movie in 2019, putting the spotlight back on the band's bad behavior. Mm-hmm. In a recent Kerrang interview, Six admitted his past conduct was inappropriate, but added, if we left that stuff out, it would be dishonest filmmaking. I was thinking about this. If there was a movie made about the colonial period and it left out the burning of the witches, what kind of film would that be? In 2019, burning witches is obviously bad, but I think we all know that when it comes to movies, we understand that the way the society was at the time, in the 80s, girls and guys acted in different ways. It was a different time. We've grown up from that. I mean, now you're old. You're not grown up. You're just old.
Just old.
Yeah. Six is currently promoting a much different type of memoir. The first 21, How I Became Nikki Six, delves into the basis, troubled childhood, burgeoning musical career as he moved from Idaho to Los Angeles, legally changing his name from Frank Farina Jr. to Nikki Six, and hatched his plan for world domination with Motley Crue.
Can't wait to never read this.
He also stressed that to classic rock that he no longer lives the hedonistic lifestyle of you. I would hope not. You're 60 years old.
Yeah, on your fucking 14th marriage or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times has that guy been married?
Who knows?
At least three or four, right?
Three, I would think.
I'm sure Tim will call in to correct me. Well, it's three. Yeah. With two engagements and one girl that he said he loved.
I'm really looking at somewhere between 25 to 30 years of not sticking needles and drinking alcohol and taking pills and stuff. Mm-hmm. I actually lead a pretty clean lifestyle, but people don't think that when I walk into a restaurant. People are always like, hey man, what's happening? High five. Let me buy you a shot of Jack Daniels. I'm like, been there three decades, man.
Wow. He's so cool.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's just cooler than everybody.
He's Mr. Nikki.
Yeah, the coolest.
All right, let's take a break. What do you want to hear?
Not Motley Crue.
I didn't say that. I just asked him what you want to hear.
How about, I'm going to go towards some of their production direction with some Alice in Chains. How about Sludge Factory from Alice in Chains from the third album, the Tripod album or self-titled or whatever they called it.
All right. Sludge Factory. All right. Yeah. All right. I got it. All right. Well, let's play some Alice in Chains. This is from 1996, I believe.
Somewhere in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it's that. Old. It's all classic metal now.
Yeah, I know. It's got that song on there. Do It Again or what is that? Hey. Let's do it again.
Yeah. And it's got this
word, my friend. Yeah.
What's that first song too? In the darkest hole, you'd be well advised.
Right.
Not to find the future for tomorrow dies. Doodaloo.
Yeah, but that song sounds like Spinning Wheel from Love Hate.
Yeah. Nice.
It does.
Play it. Let's see it.
Oh, Spinning Wheel?
Spinning Wheel in that one.
Okay. Let's see here. Alice in Chains. Let's see. Let's go back. What's the name of that song?
I don't know. It's the first song on that album, though. It's When a Body Dies. Doodaloo.
Let's see here.
Alice in Chains.
I got the album right here. Is it Grind?
Grind.
That's a grind. No, it's Again.
Again, it's the first song that goes on.
It's the song that sounds like Love Hate Spinning Wheel.
Oh,
Again.
Again, yeah.
Yeah, listen.
Oh yeah.
Got that. Now we got Love Hate Spinning Wheel from Let's Rumble. Let's see, where's it at here? There we go.
Take off your pants.
Exactly.
If Nikki Sixx heard that, he'd be like, man, there's some great lyrics there.
No shit.
I got to take those.
I hear the lyrical genius in that spinning wheel song.
Yeah, I certainly do.
Mm-hmm.
How did that not end up on Saints of Los Angeles as a cover or something?
No shit.
Jeez. Talk
about the girls down at the Seventh Veil.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's Alice in Chains from their self-titled release in 1996. Or actually, it was 95, actually.
Okay.
And it's Sludge Factory, exclusively here.
On your classic metal show.
Thanks for checking out this episode of The Classic Metal Show. Get all of our episodes uncensored at www.theclassicmetalshow.com. Join us weekly from 9 p.m. till 3 a.m. Eastern at www.cmsradio.net. Participate in the live chat room at www.chatandkill.com. Once again, thank you for checking out The Classic Metal Show with Neely and Chris. Hail and kill. Fuck you, pal. And hand job!